Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to our brand new podcast made by mamas. I'm Zoe Hardman.
And I'm Georgia Dayton.
And we are back, still talking, still discussing, and still covering all of the subjects related to motherhood. We're really excited to be here again, and we cannot wait for you to hear all of the chats taking place in this series. For those of you that don't know us,
we met a few years ago when we were pregnant, and now 3 kids later, and with one, a bun in the oven.
It's cooking in there. We've got more interesting subjects, topics that we're discussing, and all of the stuff that maybe perhaps
you might be scared to talk about.
Yeah, you might be scared to talk about. Well, we're here. We're lifting off the lid. We've got some great guests this series. So yeah, sit back and let's get on with it. So this week we are talking about motherhood, which as you and I both know, and probably everybody listening, is the best, but the most scary moment of your life when you're like holding your baby and you're like, oh shit, I've actually got to go home now and look after this thing. Nothing can prepare you for that moment.
No, absolutely not. And every day, no matter how old they are, it's still a challenge and there's always something to learn. So we're still learning, aren't we?
Oh my God, big time. And also I feel like we should be allowed to have the space to say, yes, my kids are amazing. I love them more than anything in the whole entire world. But being a parent is shit sometimes, isn't it?
I just feel
constantly like we're not allowed to say how tough it is. Some days I get to the end of the day at 7 o'clock and I fall into bed without collecting 200 quid, without my get out of jail free card. I want to be able to say that I'm finding it really hard. Like at the moment, Luna is going through the terrible twos. That stage, I'm doubting myself every single day.
Yeah, that's hard.
Isn't it?
And everyone puts so much emphasis on not messing that bit up because it's so important. And you think, well, someone tell me what to do then.
Yeah, please.
What's right and what's wrong?
Where's my memo? No idea. Someone said to me the other day, you really have to be careful with this bit because otherwise you can end up messing them up for life.
Yeah, I know.
Messing them up for life.
I know, oh, exactly. God. So I also read once that the things you say to your child when they're around like 1.5 to 2, are the voices inside their head when they get older.
Oh, great.
So if I ever send me bad tracks, I'm like, but you're my handsome prince. You're the best. You're the strongest. You're the fastest. You're the bravest.
That's amazing. You say that to him?
Oh my God, every night before he goes to sleep.
Oh.
No, but he's one day is going to turn around to me and go, shut up.
I'm your prince, mummy. Yeah. Or he'll end up going to school saying all his fit. Exactly. I'm a little prince at home, actually.
I'm the fastest. I'm the bravest. I'm the handsomest. I'm the strongest.
Handsomest isn't even a word, but it is now.
Oh, it is. I give him all the ist.
So listen, this week we're talking to somebody who I've been watching my whole life on the box, you know, in the world of music. She's a real hero of mine. I really respect the woman that she is, and she's going to lift the lid on all things being a mum in a very candid and honest way, and I cannot wait to get into this chat. Come on, let's do it. So we're really lucky on these podcasts because we do get the most incredible guests in the studio, but today the teenager inside me today is very excited because sitting opposite us, she is of course mum to 2 amazing little girls, Luca who is 4, Nova who is 1. She is one half of the superpower couple, the Candies, but she was also Flicking Neighbours.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Holly Valance.
Hi girls. Lovely to be here.
Do you like your intro?
That was pretty good. That's the best one I've had in about a decade.
That is a really good one.
I've worked on that hard on the train coming in this morning. Holly, are you well?
I'm really good, thank you. Yeah, I've managed a shower today. I have got some slap on and I'm not looking like a bedraggled, tired, knackered mum.
I can't imagine that you ever look like
that. She looks so polished.
Yeah. She would have seen me yesterday.
So we are going to talk to you a lot about motherhood today, but I just wanted to kind of touch on your past. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Neighbours. Let's talk about Australia. Let's talk about your acting quickly.
Yeah. So I was very young. I started on Neighbours when I was about 15, I think, when I went for the audition. I was still in high school, and I was modelling at the time. I kind of thought I was just going in for a bit of a joke, really. So it's not-
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, I'm going to get this. I've never done this before. And I got the job and I came home and I thought, oh God, what have I done? And I did get the job. It was 3 years. It was amazing. I'm still in contact most days with half the cast and crew because of good things like Facebook and da da da. And then I left the show because I got into music and came over here when I was 18 to the UK and had a couple of years here flogging a couple of albums, which I found terrifying.
Did you?
And I loved the creative process. I loved being involved in the making of something and making of music or imagery in a video. But I'm just not very good at being famous. It makes me really uncomfortable. So I left to the US, just to go and be a normal kid, really. And nobody knew me there, so it was heaven. So I did 7-8 years there before I met my husband.
So wow, I didn't know that. So when did you leave the UK?
When I was 20. So I moved to LA when I was 20 and moved here the first time when I was 18. But now I'm back, full circle.
And it's 2009. You're sitting at a friend's dinner party and across the table is the
actually,
very handsome...
literally next to me.
Done on purpose?
No, I don't think so. I think our friend just wanted us to sort of get a good, fun group of people together. And I had no idea who he was. I'd been living in America. I'm just goofing around town, going to castings, doing my jobs there. And he was so fun and so lovely. And I just thought, what a nice man. I think I've met my new best friend in London when I come here.
Best friend. Cool.
And then I kissed him.
That night?
Later on that night. But we were out and dancing and partying and having a great time. And then I was like, damn it. And I fancy him. That's so annoying. I hate fancying people because it never happens. So then I was like, oh, that's annoying. Got one over me. But I went back to the US a few weeks later to finish a film. And I thought, well, that was awesome. I've had so much fun. What a lovely guy. We'll stay in
touch.
What
a great kisser.
Great kisser. We'll stay in touch. He was lovely. You know, I wasn't going like bunny boiler over it. And he said, oh, I'm going to come and see you. And I was like, yeah, sure you will. And then 5 days later, he showed up on my set, you know, waving across the crew going,
oh,
hi,
wow.
Told you.
Hi, I'm this handsome English guy. Yeah. You snogged at dinner party last week.
Exactly.
And so he came out probably every weekend for like 4 months because I was working and it was trickier for me. And then I thought, well, he's making a real effort here. Maybe I should. And I'm a British citizen, so it's easier for me to move there than it would be for him to come to the US. And his businesses are obviously here. So I made the plunge.
So after 4 months, you
I moved back here. I got an apartment. I did everything sort of, you know, sensibly. And I remember getting this flat and I never stayed in it. And I thought, I've got to move in finally, because I was always at his house and we were always out together and hanging out. We were like besties, that were just two excited puppy dogs that love to do similar stuff. And then I said, right, I've really got to move into my flat this weekend. Let's take all my stuff over and get it all set up and ready. And then we did, and he was grumpy and being all, I was like, what's your problem, dude? And he says, well, you know, you've been living here for a little bit and it kind of works and this feels like a bit of a step backwards, doesn't it? And I said, well, yeah, but what do you want me to do about it? He said, well, I think you should just live with me. I was like, oh, could you have told me that before? I paid 6 months rent up front somewhere. So pretty soon after we repacked the bags and got back in the car and went home.
Oh, that's such a nice story.
Worked out how to sublet a flat.
Yes. On the sly.
Yep.
Is that legal?
Yeah, let's not talk about that. And now you've got two amazing little girls.
Yes. So little Luca came in 2013. And she's now 4, just about turned 5, and Nova a year ago, just turned 1.
And how are you finding being a mum?
At the beginning with Luca, I thought it was absolutely terrifying. It's a weird way to describe it. It's like the best thing and the worst thing to ever happen to you. And I know that sounds terrible, but it's terrifying. Mm. And you're also bursting with love, like you feel like your heart's going to explode, but you also don't know what you're doing. You're absolutely exhausted. You're fumbling around just trying to sort of survive. And I have to say that there was websites at the time, thank God, when I had Luca, that I could get on and read other mothers' forums because I thought I was a freak, the only one that was a dud that didn't know what to do. But it was so great. In the middle of the night, 3 o'clock with sore boobs, sitting in a chair, I would be on my phone, which is really naughty, but it was so lonely and isolating that I just needed to hear what other women had to say. So I really appreciate what you guys do now for other mums to hear a bit of reality and a bit of camaraderie together, because it's the most isolating time of your life. You could be in a busy room, but you're so lonely.
Mm. Exactly. I mean, you can read all the books in the lead up, can't you? But
absolutely.
Once you're in it, it's completely
And also
different.
You're in a physical state of being a bit broken, which I was, being absolutely exhausted. You can't even spell your name. In fact, I spelt her name Lucky down the phone to a doctor one night, and he goes, so her name's Lucky. I'm like, no, her name's Luca, L-U-C-K-Y. you've gone basically mad. So it's a really tricky time to navigate the first time. Second time was a little bit easier, and I've learned a few lessons along the way, so I kind of prepared for that a bit better.
Georgia and I discuss this all the time, that you know, how you can, like you've just touched on, how you can love your baby so much. And I just want to say that this is not the case for everybody. So somebody that's listening to this might think, well, I had a great time and I love my life. Yeah. But I loved my baby so much, but I hated my new life.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't, that's a bit strong, but I was scared by my new life because I couldn't get my head around how to look after this baby.
It
was so scary.
I had a feeling of grief, which is a weird thing to have when somebody's just been born. And I feel like I was grieving my old self. Mm. Holly is sort of gone and now I'm just someone's food source. Mm. And it was a really strange thing to. And now if I occasionally go out with the girls, I'm like, oh, yeah, I have something to contribute at a dinner. Yeah. Sort of. We do spend the entire night talking about children and, you know, husbands. But you know, you are still there under it all. It's just you have to find yourself again.
Yeah, and you have to get to know the new you as well.
Yes.
Because I think Zoe and I both say that we have changed since having a baby, and it's kind of just being okay with that.
Yeah.
And not grieving the old you too much, knowing that she's still there and you can still be fun, you can still do those things, but actually being okay with being
I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
It's just working how to do it all in a different way.
Exactly.
But it is the biggest shock of your life.
Yeah.
I mean, let's, you know, people don't talk. People don't talk about this enough.
No.
And I was having a conversation with one of my best girlfriends who's just had a baby. This was a few days ago. And she said, I'm terrified all the time. Nobody warned me about how frightened this would be, because it is a massive deal.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking, it is, isn't it?
It is. It's such a big deal. I think you don't realise until you, this first night at home, when you're not in the hospital surrounded by midwives.
There's no one else to ask anything.
And you suddenly realise, oh my God, this is my responsibility.
Yeah.
And no one else is going
to
do this for me.
I used to be petrified because my mum came to stay with us. And if mum said she's going out for a few hours or she's going to, every time she left, I had this feeling of dread, but it was actually really good for me to be with the baby alone because I got a bit of courage and a bit of confidence. So, you know, if my husband went away, which he goes away a lot, I would just think, oh God, it's just me and her. But when he'd come back, I'd be so much better than when he'd left, because it's almost like I found the way I can do it by myself. Also nice not having to consider anyone else's anything and just looking after the baby. But it is terrifying. I don't want to be too much of a Debbie Downer, but literally the last day I relaxed was the day before Luca was born. Mm. And I'll probably never, ever relax again. I said to my mum, does this get easier? And she's like, well, little people, little problems. Big people, big problems.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, fab.
Excellent.
I'm already freaking out about getting into cars with people and, you know, worrying about that. So,
And you just mentioned that your husband does go away a lot. Now, people might look onto your life and think, you know, charmed existence and they don't have to worry about a lot of things. But your husband goes away and he has to work and you have to handle it on your own.
I mean, he works 7 days a week. He'll be working Christmas Day. He worked on the day we practiced our vows with the priest. He took a call in the middle of it. You know, like the BlackBerry was still on the got to take this. Sorry, guys. I'm like, we're at the altar rehearsing our wedding. So that's who I married. I know that. And it is tricky. But I have a lot of help. I've got, you know, a housekeeper. I've got somebody that changes the sheets and does the laundry. That's amazing. But it would never take away from the intensity of looking after your children, which are your most prized, precious things in your life. And so with that comes this incredible sort of stress, which is tiring. Mm-hmm. I think if I was looking after somebody else's kid, because I just think being a nanny, like, why would you do that? I just say,
I agree.
So I've only in the last 5 months hired somebody. And I just say to her, I have no idea why you would do this for a job. It's so hard. And she's like, well, you're emotionally attached. There's a different feeling to it. Every time they go, every cell in my body wakes up and goes, what do they need? Are they hungry? Are they hurt? Whereas I think if you're not related, maybe it is easier. Mm. I think I could look after someone's kid and be like, nah, she's fine. Yeah, eat the banana off the floor. You're good.
I feel like I'm like that anyway.
No, you are, Georgia. Yeah. You're absolutely amazing.
I'm now like that. Nova had blackberries on the floor, originally in a little bowl this morning until they were across the floor. And then I was like, that's a clean floor.
Just eat it.
I found a bit of toast in Axel's toy room the other day. I don't know how long it's been there. And he just picked it up and started eating it. And I was like, oh, I don't know if you should
listen,
be doing
it. There's
green
mold
on it. That's fine.
Not green. It's fine.
So you've got one amazing girl and then you decide, right, it's time to go for another baby. How does life change for you from one to two?
Well, I learned my lesson the first time not being fit throughout the pregnancy. I'd just gotten married, didn't think it was going to happen as easily. And as my mum said, oh, God, I could just be in a room with one and I'd be pregnant. And I was like, oh, mum. Yeah, I was that girl too.
Wow, that's
so
incredible.
So it happened quite quickly and I was very lucky that I didn't really do much trying. But I wasn't really expecting it to happen. I thought, oh, this is going to take me a year, maybe a year and a half, which is more regular, I think.
Yeah.
And it happened quite quickly. So I was like, oh, God. I don't feel like I'm grown up enough to be A, married, let alone a mum. But I was like, I'm going with it, you know. And I, with Nova, made a real conscious effort to make sure that I was at the gym pretty much every day, keeping my fitness, because it meant for a much easier birth. And it just meant for a less nauseous, less, like, just feeling shocking for the entire pregnancy. I felt pretty bad with Luca. I had very bad SPD. I don't know if you guys talk about that on the show. It's a pelvic disorder where your relaxin in your body is so high that you can just, like, pop a hip out or, you know.
Oh, we haven't spoken to anyone about this.
It's,
no,
it's excruciating. So you're almost, by the end of the pregnancy, on crutches. And I've had girlfriends that have been on crutches. So I could barely walk towards the end. So the second time I wanted to get really fit. I was doing my heaviest weightlifting 9 months pregnant. I was at the gym 5 days before Nova. Because, listen, I don't make the same mistake twice. I really screwed up with Luca. I was just sitting around, tired, miserable, just a bit, just not with it, exhausted and not busy enough. Whereas this time I was looking after someone already. So I was, you know, crazy busy. School runs straight to gym, get my bit out of the way and then home to do everything else. So I managed to have a much better pregnancy second time round.
Mm-hmm. And the births?
The births, the first birth was pretty straightforward. I was very lucky. I had two natural births. I think the aftermath of a natural birth is something that people don't talk about enough, and women that have cesareans often say, I feel like I didn't, you know, get to experience that. And I'm like, listen, girl, you're doing star jumps. I can't do those. I don't want to laugh too hard or sneeze too hard.
Did you have tears?
Yeah, I had an episiotomy the first time, which was possibly the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
I've had one.
Zoe had one. Yeah.
And the healing from that, I mean, I was on Tramadol for weeks afterwards, which is a disgusting drug that I just hated having to take, but I was in that much pain just standing to change a nappy was tears streaming down my face. It was horrendous.
Remember the first time you have to go for a wee after an episiotomy?
Petrifying.
The pain, the burning. Nobody told me that you won't be able to sit down.
Yeah.
Like for 2 weeks, I should have got one of those rubber rings to sit on everything. Did you get one?
Mum was telling me, you know, of all the things that she experienced, which was the sitz bath, which you put over the toilet bowl and you pour in, you know, Epsom salts and things. You just sit there a few times. They just have some warmth. They tell you not to have a bath and a hot bath straight afterwards. But to be honest, I probably went 5 or 6 days and my body was saying you need to soak in hot water with magnesium flakes or Epsom salts. The day that I did that, there was a turning point. It was like something about circulation or something that really helped. So although I wasn't meant to, because I was still healing, obviously, and it's clean, fresh water. I'm not going in a local pool.
Well, no, I had loads of baths afterwards. I didn't listen to that.
That really helped. And this time one of the nurses at the hospital said tea tree oil and things just to do it, something natural that's keeping things clean and healing fast. So between Epsom salts and lots of tea tree oil, Nova was much easier. Tiny tear, begged the doctor, please don't cut me. I would rather tear than you ever cut me again. Just let me do whatever my body does. And it was so much better.
Was it?
But I think Luca was, his heartbeat was going a little bit funny towards the end of my first birth. So I think that was a reason why he needed to get her out then and there. But I'm one of those bastards that Luca was 30 minutes of pushing and Nova was 13.
You're like me.
I have really small babies though. Nova was at full term 5 pounds 13. Tiny.
Gosh.
I thought they'd mucked up the date of birth, the due date. I just thought that's just not possible. She's so small, but she was really only 4 days.
And were you induced?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Induced at full term or?
Yeah, at full term. Oh, yeah. Okay. So my doctor doesn't like to go over. He just says it just creates problems when babies get too big. I've got so many girlfriends in Australia now, it's a bit wacky over there, if you ask me, and they're a little bit militant with the breastfeeding thing, which I'm not really for. I'm for whatever the mum needs, because a happy mum means a happy baby.
We talk about this as
well. Yeah, exactly.
Music to our ears, Holly.
Get off mum's backs. Just let them do what they need to do. I've got one girlfriend that breastfeeding she is repulsed by, can't talk about it. Can't watch another mother doing it. She's got 3 children. She just said, I'm a formula girl. And she now goes in when she has her babies and just says to the nurse, don't even bother. I won't be breastfeeding. This is what works for me. And her babies are all, or now boys, are all super strong, fit, lovely, intelligent, you know, regular people.
Yeah, I mean, think of course. You just know, don't you, what's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to breastfeed for a while. We've spoken about it before. And Axel was a different baby as soon as I put him on formula. And everything calmed down.
Yep.
It was obviously just the right thing for
Nova
us
was
to
lactose
do.
Intolerant. Allergic to her mother. I'd never heard of that.
Yeah, we're going to come on to this. This is an interesting topic,
that was
actually.
Like, no, surely not. That's not normal. And covered in a rash, wheezing with sort of like an asthmatic wheezing. And very, very upset tummy, either very constipated or diarrhea, nothing in between. And so, yeah, it was just really tricky trying to work that out.
So this is Nova. This is your second baby.
So that was Luca.
That was Luca.
Yeah. So that was quite terrifying. A baby that doesn't want to A, eat, or B, is getting sick from you.
Okay, so just talk us through how that started. What were the first signs?
She just, I mean, I could have fed England. These hooters were, that was not my problem. I know that some other ladies' problems and that's just normal as well. But that one wasn't my problem. And I just thought, oh, of course it's my luck, the kid that doesn't want to eat. And I'm literally like going through 4 T-shirts a day. And it was actually reading mum's forums and things about her side effects and her feeding and just trying to work out what I had in common with certain babies feeding, and it seemed to be this lactose intolerance. So I even went to my pediatrician and said, I think she's this. oh, it would be very unlucky. It'd very, very uncommon for it to be this. I said, I just think it is. It's just it. I just feel that it is. And eventually we got to the bottom of it, and that's what it was.
What were
was,
her really. Symptoms?
Again, either very, very bad diarrhea and very gassy, or just absolutely constipated, and a terrible rash all over her face. Her breathing sounded very bad. What else? I have to go back and
read. Was this from birth as well?
Pretty much, yeah. Mm.
And how much milk and dairy did you have in your diet?
Not great deal. I don't really have milk. I only drink coconut milk. I like cheese and things, but not majorly. I took all those things out for a week to test it because and made absolutely no difference whatsoever.
Right.
I think humans have the highest level of lactose.
Well, it takes 6 weeks to get out of your body, they say.
Which 6 weeks when you've just had a newborn
baby?
Yeah,
who has 6 weeks? Yeah. I don't have 6 minutes.
Yeah.
No.
So what did you do?
So we ended up putting her on a different formula, Nutramigen, which also wasn't enough.
Mm.
I needed to go on Nutramigen AA, which is even more hydrolyzed and hypoallergenic. It's like the top tier with, I think, Neocate. Oh, my God, it's so expensive.
I know.
And I don't really use the NHS very much unless that's my only option because I can afford to go private and I don't like to use my free prescription of that stuff when it could go to a mum that really needs it. So I can get those things free on the NHS, but I choose not to. Also, Amazon's in bulk and that's much easier than getting two tums at a time. But we started her on that. Another perhaps controversial thing is we tummy slept her because we also discovered that there was probably a lot of silent reflux going on. And from about 2 or 3 weeks of age, I put her on her tummy and put her crib up on an angle so her head was slightly higher. Between that and the Nutramigen and then eventually omeprazole, which was it was like another child.
Mm.
This child just all of a sudden within a day or so was drinking 120 mils after only having 20 mils.
Wow.
So I'm going to jump in here because you and I have got very, very similar babies. So yeah. We have been on exactly the same journey with Kit and you, and that was with Luca, wasn't
Luca,
it?
Yeah.
So again, this is a very controversial subject. It's tummy sleeping. So I wanted to talk to you about this today because I think it is important to kind of highlight that this was a choice. This goes against the NHS guidelines.
Yeah, it does.
You know, it really does. So it's a very personal choice. We haven't talked about it on Made by Mamas before, but I know that a lot of mothers are doing it in reflux babies. I am one of them. You are one of them. Now
I slept Nova on her tummy from day one, and she wasn't initially, it just feels more natural to me. I've had the baby alarm.
You've got a sensor underneath.
Got a baby sensor. She's got a camera in there. You know, I've got a thermostat. You know, if things are fairly controlled, she's in the next room to me. I can hear every whimper.
Mm.
And obviously at the beginning we were all together.
And you've seen, you saw her be able to lift her head up.
From day one,
side. Yeah.
She crawled up my body.
Mm.
From the day I gave birth, she was on my tummy and I remember her etching her way up into my neck in the night because I just couldn't let go of her. It was just too exciting.
Mm.
The nurse would come in, where is she? I'm like, oh, she's just here. Basically, they're born with that strength. You can feel how strong they are inside you. Mm. It's something that I think atrophies after being put on your back for months and months.
Exactly.
And I don't have a floppy baby. From day one, I could show you a video on my phone of her at 5 days lifting her head up, looking around, and then switching sides.
Mm.
And that's something I think babies are usually born with. But because of the guidelines here, and the guidelines aren't everywhere, actually, we're told because of SIDS to put them on their back. Also, swaddle. My kids do not like swaddling.
No.
And I panic when I think about the feeling of swaddling.
Yeah, me too.
Mine was like Houdini. However I wrapped her up, the hand would come out, some little
Axel
spindly
was the
hand.
Same. I swaddled him on the first night and then I checked him like a few hours later and he was completely out of it. And I was thinking, okay, I'll try again. Nope,
that's how strong they are.
And you think, yeah, no, this isn't happening.
Yeah, so I did tummy sleeping in a little bassinet with the monitor underneath and then tuck in the sides, the blankets down the sides, so they're quite snugly. There's a bit of pressure on their back and then their hands are up and they can move their head around and, you know, breathe, and there's no blankets just loose around them. It is snugly all around. And she's obviously, I'm watching it like a hawk all night as well. But I just felt like it was just so much better and it changed Luca's everything very, very quickly. And from Nova, I just did it from the beginning because something just said, this is more natural.
Now, where did you get, because we've also had the same amazing person in our lives.
Yes.
Can we talk about Alison?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was given a book when I first had Lukey by a girlfriend, and it was Alison Scott Wright's book, The Sensational Baby Sleeping Plan.
Yeah.
And at the front page, she'd written Alison's mobile number. She said, call her if you get into trouble. And I thought that was the best present ever. And I sort of had it lying around and I flicked over everything. And I thought, right, I obviously wasn't doing a very good job of things. I thought, I think I need some help. And I thought, oh, I've got this lady's number. And we got in touch and she was amazing. She was able to come within probably the week or something. And I think she stayed with us 5 nights with Luca. She came twice with Luca, actually, because we had two separate things to sort of sort out. And it was pretty mind-blowing. Mm. And I think it also helps having someone that's detached who can really look at things objectively, whereas I'm attached. So I, you know, every whimper, I'm like, oh, is it pain? Is it da-da? And she's like, no, that's just a noise. That's a noise. Mm. You know, and learning the 0 to 10 barometer of cries, which is a big one that I still use. She was like, rate this cry right now. And I'm like, oh, that's an 11. She's like, yeah, that's a 3. Get a cup of tea because you need to rethink this like it's not your child. There's certain times to go in to get a child out of bed. It's really distressed. And certain times where that's exhaustion. Give them a minute. They just need to fall off to sleep. Don't go in there and now wake them up. And then they're extra exhausted and then the hyperactivity starts, because I thought mine was screaming because it was so awake. It needed to be awake more. And it's like, no, that's exhaustion. And when Alison came, she showed me, no, that's absolute exhaustion. It comes out in hyperactivity.
And is this kind of stuff that you don't know, especially the first time round?
I thought I was going to ace it. I've got, like, I'm the eldest of 8 kids, right? And I've been around kids the whole time and I was like, pfft. This is going to be a cinch. Oh, my God, I choked.
Yeah.
I was just terrible.
Well, because every baby is so different. And every baby throws up different kind of problems. And you know what? If you are lucky enough to be born with, in inverted commas, the perfect little baby that does what you want and sleeps when you want and breastfeeds like the dream, then that is great. And God, I'm so happy if that is you, if you're listening and that is you. But you know what? There's a lot of us that it doesn't happen to.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time people have hiccups. I didn't have any problems with Axel like you guys did with reflux as bad, but he did have reflux at the beginning and he had to go on to Gaviscon. Infant Gaviscon. Yeah. And luckily that was enough.
That's so good. We had to work
our way up.
So Gaviscon, ranitidine, why would you give a liquid to a reflux baby it's mint flavoured and it's a newborn? Possibly the stupidest medicine I've ever heard of, but omeprazole was the one in the end, which is Nexium for babies.
But even to get to that took me like 6 visits to the doctor.
Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it? That you know, you have mother's instinct, you know when something's not right.
I just sort of started demanding things. And I was like, no, I know this is it. Please just give it to me. If I'm wrong, I'll stop it. And then, of course, trying the ranitidine and things, I was like, this isn't going to work. It's a mint-flavoured liquid for a baby that wants milk, sweet stuff, and it's a liquid. And that my baby keeps throwing things up, so why would I be able to keep that down? So that just didn't work. So I have ended up, again, reading mums talking and saying the end result seems to be MUPS or Losec. Which is omeprazole. And then once, you know, it's a tiny little tablet, dissolved in 3 tea drops of water and mix it with a little bit of baby rice or something, just slowly get it in. And that was just like life-changing.
Yes, life-changing for me. Everything that you're saying, I went through with you. A completely different baby, sleeping through the night, you know, weaning really well now, drinking all of his milk, not crying out in pain. He's the most happy, chilled, lovely little baby, and thank goodness. But I think the message, and I think maybe this is what you're saying as well, is that you've got that mother's instinct. You know if there's something up with the baby. Yeah. And reflux is really hard to diagnose, especially silent reflux.
Yeah.
But, you know,
there's no blood test.
No,
there's
no sort
of thing that looking at it. It's an observation of several several things.
Mm. And they don't just cry.
No, and that's what I mean. And any mum's having like issues at the start, especially, you do just have to trust your instinct, and it's not you doing a bad job. It's actually just there might be something wrong that needs to be fixed.
You have to trust it a bit more and also not get bossed around. Like I know with girlfriends that I'm on WhatsApp to, you know, to Australian god-awful midnight hour over there that have just had little ones that are just like, you know, the nurse comes tomorrow, she's going to be so angry with me because I'm not, she's, you know, she's not eating, she's throwing everything up, and I don't know if my boobs can take it. And I've said, well, then don't.
Yeah.
Just try something else. She's like, oh, but they're really heavy here. And I'm like, well, that's disgraceful. You're in your most vulnerable time, you're most emotional, you're most isolated, and you got someone standing over you telling you, no, there isn't an option when there is. Mm. And it should only be about healthy baby and keeping mum happy and healthy. Mm. The baby is screwed if you're suffering. Mm. How can a child prosper if their mum, their number one person that's supposed to be caring for them, teaching, looking after them, is struggling? Mm. So I just think there should be so much more focus on mums. You know, in China, they make you sit for 40 days and drink tea while cousins and aunties come in, bring you tea and deliver the baby for a quick feed, then take it back out because you'll get too tired. Go and have a rest.
And you're not allowed to go out.
You're not allowed to do anything.
What?
Yeah. You're like really cared for.
Everybody has to come and look after you.
Someone to bring me tea.
Rally around you. And that's like amazing. I'm here without my tribe. My tribe's in Australia. So I think in hindsight, I wish I'd had Luca in Australia just because I would have all my sisters, my aunties, my cousins, even just having someone up the road to just walk past and have a cup of tea with in the day, just somebody to make a little thing in your day. Mm. Because when there's no one else there, it's so lonely and it's boring. Mm. Like it's not, you know, exciting, like call a spade, there's absolute sheer love, heart bursting, chest bursting love, but it can be really bloody boring sometimes. Mm. You know, how much friggin' wiggles can I take?
How many times around the park
can I walk today? you do realise how quickly it goes though. I mean, it's like people say, oh, it's just a phase, and you think, well, I'm in this hell right now and the baby won't sleep and da-da-da, but then suddenly you are out of it and then you're in this whole other, you know, the next 6 months.
This too
and the next,
shall pass. Yeah. I keep thinking because Nova's in quite a feral stage right now. She's out of her violent stage, which is nice. So I haven't come in with scabs all over my face today.
Oh, my God, Holly.
Scratching and gouging. We're over that.
Great.
There's just a lot of yelling at the fridge now, ransacking of drawers. I've never gone through so many drawer stopper opening appliances in my life. My husband can't get into anything, so he can't work them out. Everything is a phase. Mum keeps saying, just ride it out. Mm. And then the next one starts and you go, oh, God, that makes that one look easy.
And how do they get on? How do the two girls get on?
Amazing. The first few weeks was terrible. Luca was madly in love with her new sister, but devastated at the same time, very cross with me. And I thought, oh, my God, I've ruined her life. What have I done? And she, you know, didn't understand having to lower her voice or be a little bit quiet when, you know, the baby's sleeping. Like the baby wouldn't have even woken up at that point. You're so like, don't wake the baby. And she was terrible, very cross, very upset, but then would go and kiss her and love on her, but then be very upset with me. She was very hurt by it, I think. And I can't imagine how that felt. It's like my husband bringing home another woman going, well, I love her, just love her, you know, join in. And it probably feels that way to another child. So I tried to be as careful with her as possible, read lots of books sort of touching on the subject, talk about it a lot. You know, do you feel jealous right now? That's natural. That's fine. Mummy loves you absolutely still and even more so now. Mm. So we got through it. Now she's fantastic, very helpful, very kind, very patient because Nova is... she's my little ruffian bruiser. She's usually walking around with a clump of Luca's hair in her.
So does Nick feel like left out because there's three girls to
he
him?
He suits women.
Oh, okay. That's
good. He's like if I have a girl's lunch, he's like, oh, should I pop in to say hi?
No.
I'm like, no, we're good. Thanks anyway. He's like, yeah, but, you know, I love a girl's lunch. He just likes being center of all the girls. So he's quite happy in a house full of women. It suits him. He also likes shopping and manicures and things. So it's perfect. What was he going to do with daughters? Because I'll be the one taking them to karate and football.
Yeah. And will you have any more?
Absolutely not.
Oh, there you go. You heard it here first.
This shop is shut.
Yeah, you're done.
I'm very grateful. I've got two healthy kids. I feel like the luckiest person on the planet. And I'm just like, this is always a nice car. This is always a good seat in a restaurant. This is always good theatre tickets.
Yeah.
When you start going to five, you're screwed.
Yeah. And you're probably outnumbered. I always think that.
Being outnumbered is an important one.
Yeah, why would you outnumber yourself with children? Like, you've got to be able to tag team one on one, right?
I'm from a big family. You think I'd want 4,000 of them, but maybe that's why I don't. I'm like, no, just keep it quiet, guys.
What do you do for you?
House. Very little. But gym has become something that I have to do for my mental health. Mm. My husband doesn't understand why I get really quite upset if I say, no, but I needed to do this today. I just needed the 45 minutes because it keeps me up, keeps my energy up. It keeps my mood up. I feel good. I've got to have the endorphins going. I've got to be fit and good for the girls and for myself. But that's just one thing that I really, really have to, like, I panic a little bit if I can't get to the gym, which, you know, does happen. Like, and I also just hurt my ankle recently, so I've had probably a month of not going, and I've been trying to keep calm, do a lot of reading instead, just do something for my mind, because I think it can be dangerous not to look after you.
It's so important. Whatever you do to get those endorphins going, we love our exercise. That's how we bonded, and that's how we've sort of created this business, really. We're sitting in the gym on the treadmill, you know, cross trainer, squatting, whatever we were doing, just chatting away. But, you know, whatever it is, a walk in the park if you can't get to the gym, 20 minutes in your living room.
Yeah.
Whatever
I do, YouTube's in my bathroom. Exactly. I've got a little set of weights in the bath, and I've got one of those hideous circles that you put your feet on that slide.
Oh, yeah, we call them the discs of doom.
Oh, God, I hate
discs
those.
Of doom.
Got those, yeah. And then I just put a YouTube on of an arm workout or a leg workout or a bum workout or something, even if it's just 20 minutes, and I find it makes my day better. Mm. So, you know, when my friends are saying I can't get out of the house, I used to feel like that, and then I've now worked out ways of trying to find some way of doing that little thing. It is possible. We've all got smartphones now. Surely the baby's asleep for 20 minutes. And I know other people have to go do the washing, prepare the next meal, all
go
those
to
things
sleep
as well.
But sleep. Also priorities. I'd much rather have an hour to myself in the gym than have a tidy house.
I agree. Leave it messy. Like, who gives?
Yeah, exactly.
No. Get your other half to do it. And he comes home. Work's a freaking holiday.
Yes.
Work is the easiest. If I was going to work every day, it would just be so easy and nice.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. When my husband comes back from, like, if we're tag teaming at the moment, so we're kind of doing 3 days each with the kids and then, you know, or four and three. And when he comes back in from work, I'm always the one to be like, help me. I've had an amazing day with him, but I'm exhausted. Can you help me do this? And I don't let him tell me about his day because I know that he's actually had a holiday. Like,
and
you said.
Weed alone.
Yeah, he's weed alone.
And ate when he was hungry and didn't have to break half of it off and then get out of the carpet and then chase it up the stairs.
Yeah. And he doesn't have poo on his fingernails. Yeah.
And sat on their own while they're travelling to the office.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
To think about anything you like.
Oh, we're all daydreaming about that now. What's that going to be? I can't wait to get on the train later and just do exactly that. What's coming up next for you? So kids are done. Let's career. Where are we?
I'm a bit reluctant to get too involved with things because once I do a project, it's, you know, a 6 to 8 to 12 week commitment if I'm shooting and it's not going to be in my hometown. So for the job that I usually do, which is film and TV work, I'm just a bit nervous at the moment. I'm not very good at leaving them yet. You know, I went to Nairobi 2 weeks ago for 3 days for some charity work. That's about all I can muster time away from the girls at the moment. But I do have an upcoming film that will probably happen next year in Australia with any luck. And again, they've sort of made a deal they could shoot me out in 2 weeks or so. So that's, I have to make these sort of deals with whoever I am going to work with because I just can't be that far away from them.
That's lovely,
at a time,
though.
It freaks me out. I don't get to go somewhere up the road and then come back.
Yeah.
My jobs are always weird. it'll be like, right, you're shooting in Budapest for the next 3 months. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I can't do that.
No. Absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me, girls.
I love the way you've spoken today. Really honest, really true, and I really hope that it's
helped.
Sorry
if there's a lot of beeping.
Oh, before you go, we love talking about products.
Oh.
So, as a new mum, what would be your top 5 products that you say to buy?
So, there's this star. Is it the Aiden and Anais star that I have in both girls' rooms just because temperature freaks me out? And when you've just given birth, you're so hot or cold, you're not really reading real temperature. So, that one's good for in the night. Also, you can do your breastfeeding patterns on it. There's a left and a right button because I remember feeding Luca once 5 times on my left thinking, yeah, it's the left again, and then looked in the diary. I was like, no, it's not, you idiot.
Because you can't remember,
you just can't remember
you?
Anything. No. You're too tired. So that's a really good one. What are the other things I love? Bepanthen must be my absolute favourite nappy cream because the other one seems super harsh to me and drying. Mm. So that one I think we use more in Australia. I don't know if that's
Yeah, we use it.
I'm a bit silly with nappies. I'm a bit of a lunatic with dryness and odour, and I ship my nappies from Australia.
Do you?
Because they just have the best. Huggies, Australia is something different. They're not good in America and they're not particularly good here, and I want to know why they make them differently here to the Aussie ones.
Anyone working at Huggies?
Okay, just let us know. Yeah. I have written to them and asked the question, why are they so different? So that's a bit of a naughty one because the postage costs more than the nappies. But it's one of those things like I would rather this than shoes or something nice for myself. This is worth it. This is my peace in the night that I know she's not lying there in cold wee.
Yeah, because I'll be honest with you, I don't know if you had this with Axel, but every single morning that I get Kit up, he doesn't wake up from it.
Yeah.
He's wet through.
Yeah.
Really?
Can't last the night, but he goes for 12 hours, but the Pampers
that
I'm
using,
he can't get past it.
There are different grades of Pampers, though. I only realised this recently.
Yeah, 3 plus or whatever.
There's no, like different kind of packets are like more premium than other ones. They shouldn't all be premium.
Right, I need to check that out.
Because I worked this out the other day because I buy pull-up things now. And I bought some other ones and they were completely different and just didn't last as long as the other ones that I buy.
Right,
then
okay,
I realised.
Still yet to find a good one here, I have to say.
Okay, I'm on the case
the
with that
other,
one.
Oh, here's a good one. Okay, this is a big one. So Novi was very sick a couple of weeks ago with something called roseola. I don't know if it's a known about thing here. And the only reason why it came up, she had a 40-degree temperature for 2 days, which is quite frightening. And the doctor came in the middle of the night. Otherwise, I was driving down to A&E. And he said, if we don't get this temperature down soon, we need to take her into A&E. This is a very dangerous temperature to have. And I just thought, well, she's vomiting up the Calpol. She hates Calpol and Nurofen. And how do you get that into them when they need it desperately to get a temperature down? And he said, well, I'm going to give you some suppositories of paracetamol. And I just thought, oh, I can't do that. That's going to be excruciating. It's only such a little bottom. How am I going to do that? Oh, this is not a thing here. Europe, my French friends, my German friends, are like, that's all we use.
What, they just shut up the bum?
Yes.
Shove it up the bum.
Tiny, well, I mean, it's delicate, more
it's
delicate.
A tiny little wax bullet, right? You pop it out. He got them for me in the middle of the night. And you sort of warm it in your hands for a second. And just like you're holding their legs up to change a nappy. And you just put it in their bottom. And then, well, use a pinky finger. Just push it in far enough that it will stay in and just hold their bottom for a second. Within 5 minutes, it was working. She didn't bat an eyelid, didn't notice it had even happened. Because you're obviously being very gentle and they're very small and it's just not a big deal.
Can you buy them over the counter?
Over the counter.
What are they called?
They're called, I'll tell you the name, I'll have to write it down for you. It's, let me get the name.
We put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it was major. So it's basically just paracetamol suppositories. And my German girlfriend, who I was texting in the middle of the night, was like, oh my God, why do you not know about this? This is what we all use
here. Oh, we didn't know about it.
How do you get a kid that's vomiting and really ill to hold down oral medication? This is why we use this. It goes in straight away and it stays in their body and you can start controlling terrible temperatures. The other part of that is that while she had this 40-degree temperature, I thought the only time I've ever known about this was when Lukey had a similar temperature in LA once, and a few days later broke out in the most horrific rash on her torso. And that turned out to be roseola, which starts with 2 or 3 days of extreme temperatures, and then the rash, which is the virus, is coming out of the body now, and the rash comes, then you kind of like you're over the hump. But that was quite scary the first time, because you think rashes, we need to get to the emergency room. But when the rash came this time, I remember going, oh, it was roseola, okay. I did still take her to the doctor that day to double check my theory, and he agreed, yes, it was. So that's another one that people don't really know about here, I think. I don't know, maybe it's got a different name, or maybe it's just not common here. It's just a virus, but it's a very scary virus, and it's kind of over and done with in 5 or 6 days.
Right.
Yeah. What about like a white noise machine, anything like that?
I had the little go sleep or whatever it was for the ears that you just lay on, like when you're holding them, you can lay it on, it will play whale noises.
It's from Grove. Nice. We love Grove.
Yes, yeah, Grove. We do love Grove.
And the other thing is we've got iPads in our bedrooms that can sort of control the TV and the lights and things, all sort of integrated. So I would end up putting a bit of white noise on that sometimes, which does really help. Another one which might be a bit controversial for you is I have been doing tattoo removal for the last few years.
Where are we going with this,
for
Holly?
Some extremely excellent decisions I made as a teenager. And basically I use this cream called Emla, which is a lidocaine, I suppose, or a something cane, just not the other stuff, that you numb the skin for either a mole removal, tattoo removal, small surgery. And I put it on now before the tattoo removal, which is more excruciating than getting one, and you feel absolutely nothing. And I thought when Luca was 3, there was such an emotional distress about getting her vaccinations. I just thought if I could take away her fear of it, maybe she won't have this forever. You know, some kids are petrified because they have a really terrible experience as children. This strange man cowering, you know, going over you with this needle. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to put my tattoo removal cream on her thigh and her arm and put the sticky thing over it. It's like a Glad wrap, but it's all sticky, so it stays on. And she came into the doctor and looked around while he was doing it like nothing was happening.
Didn't feel a thing.
So Nova last week was due her 12-month shots, which we separated. So it was her second bout because we didn't want to do 4 in 1 day. It was probably a bit much for her system. So we did 2 on one day, and then 2.5 weeks later we did the next 2 once she had a second to recover, which I think is quite sensible to do. Like 4 in 1 day is a lot for this tiny little thing. So again, I said to the paediatrician, oh, you're going to laugh at me. He goes, oh, let me guess, Emla. I said, yep, back at it again with the Emla. And then at the end of it, he goes, she probably will feel it. You know, this is quite topical, this stuff. She didn't bat an eyelid.
Oh, really?
Put one on both thighs. And she just sat there laughing at him, trying to whack him with her pacifier. And he said, you know what? This is actually good stuff. And I said, why don't they give us a packet? Because you can buy in a Band-Aid kind of form where it's already in the gauze part and the sticky, and just give us a packet so that half an hour before we rock up to our vaccinations, whack it on an arm and a leg.
And it's perfectly safe to use on kids that age.
He had no qualms with me using it. I mean, if they were having any sort of surgery or anything like that, that's what they would use. I would assume that, like anything, you'd need to do an allergy test, wipe a bit on and see if they get a rash or something. And that can be done easily with anything. We could be allergic to anything.
Of course.
But it worked a treat, and I just thought, oh my gosh, I've taken the trauma for both of us out of this, and it
made
such a biggest
difference.
And I wasn't scared driving there, because on the way I'm always looking at her, knowing I'm about to hurt her, and I can't believe I have to do this to you. I'm so sorry. And they look at you like, you're my protector. Why are you letting this happen? Who is this guy? It's horrific.
And then you're going to feel awful for
you
the next few days afterwards.
Yeah, you cry for the next couple of days, go home for a massive bucket of red wine. And it's normally horrendous. And this time I was like, oh my God, I think I just worked out like a massive vaccine hack.
Yes, what a
that
win!
Is so good, so good. I'm definitely going to
try George
that.
Yeah, George is thinking about that. I love that.
Yeah, so between that and suppositories, they're my biggest thing that I'm like, yes, do this.
Two things we haven't heard before, which is great.
Brilliant. Holly, thank you so much. I wish you could stay
Not the
forever.
Most elegant or glamorous of chats, but there you go.
Thank
That's
you.
What we want. Thanks, Holly.
Thank you.
So like we do at the end of every podcast, we're going to talk about our five favourite products. G, you're going to kick us off.
I am. So this week we're going to do like the real game changers, things that make our lives easier as mums. So I'm going to start with my eye candy, my chair. Now it is expensive. I think it's like 400 quid.
It's ridiculously expensive.
But do you know what? I'm so glad I invested in it when I did. Because having a high chair in your home, people say to you, oh, you put it, you know, it folds up, you put it away. You don't. It's always out. It's always on show. So you do want it to look nice and you don't want something really bulky. So the great thing about the my chair is that it goes from newborn all the way up to like, I think they can be like 7 or 8 or something in this little like, it's like a little rocking chair type thing. So at the moment, mine is low down and it's with like a little on a little kid's table and there's no like straps or front to it. But it goes through different stages. So there's like one with a table, there's one which is almost like a newborn seat. Then you can have it high, you can have it low, you can have it as a rocking chair.
Yeah, yours is completely multifunctional. And the most amount of messages.
Yes, so many people ask, where's
your high chair from?
Yeah, so it is expensive, but it is an investment and I definitely think it's a good one.
And I also think if you can't stretch to that the amount of money, just invest in a good high chair because you are going to be using it, you know, 3 or 4 times every single day, and you don't want something ugly or something that's a bit clunky in your kitchen
and fiddly. Exactly. Yeah.
So my product is going to be the bib with sleeves, because I'm currently Kit has suddenly decided that he doesn't want to be spoon fed anymore, that he wants to do baby led weaning, which is amazing but also incredibly messy. So at home I just literally whip his top off and he just goes for it, because I'm all about the mess at home. If we're out and about in a restaurant, that's not doable. So I've got a really great one from M&S, actually. It was only $9.99, but basically just clips on around the neck and it covers up all of his arms, basically goes down to like the middle of his leg, so he can get as much mess on him and it won't affect his great outfit choice for the day.
You don't have to take around 5 changes of clothes. So for me, a buggy is really important. I've had a few buggies since I had Axel, and this one
doesn't sound like you that clear, actually.
No, I don't change my mind and buy things for the sake of it. So this is the Baby Yo-Yo Zen, or Zen Baby Yo-Yo it might be, I'm not sure, but it's the one that can go above in the locker on the plane. It's so lightweight. I just can't believe I didn't know about it before, because really it's all you need. It's amazing.
Yeah, this has been a game changer for you,
hasn't
it?
Oh my gosh, yeah, especially living in London. I can literally, like, now Axel's like 13 kilos, I can still just pick the buggy up and walk up the stairs on the, like, when I'm on the tube.
Not now though, G, because you're pregnant. You're not lifting heavy goods, are you?
I still do it.
Yeah, I've got something that's been quite good in the house recently. It's called the Baby Jogger City Mini GT. It's a double. And I just can't get my head around how lightweight it is. And I think actually moving from like a proper pram to a buggy that is just really, you know, great at manoeuvring on the pavements and stuff. And also with this one, you can go for a jog in it. And it's a great little double. The kids love it. It's really comfy. Yeah, a good buggy.
It is essential.
This has been really good for us, actually. This was when we moved Kit out of one of those angel care baths that they lie back in. And this is called the Safety First Swivel Bath Seat, which I think is about £14. And it's got these little suctions in the bath, so it's sort of, it sticks to the bath, so he's not going to go anywhere, and he just sits up in it.
I've seen it on your stories. It looks really good.
He just loves it because he feels like he's sitting up with his sister, and he can sit up, but I'm always a bit concerned about him falling over in the bath. So this is like a great transition to getting rid of the bath completely, and it's super cheap.
And this one is not just one product, but it's basically just having all your baby essentials in one place.
It's a good mum hack.
Yeah, you never know when your baby's going to get, like, you know, be teething in the night, and you don't want to not have your Ambisol at hand. You never know when they're going to get cold and you need your Cowpole humidifier. You never know when they're going to have a temperature and you need your Braun in-ear thermometer. Do you know what I mean? It's just having all of those things and knowing those things that work for you and making sure you always have them.
Yeah, it's a really good tip. You can use like a sponge bag or something
that you've got,
put them all in there, keep them by close.
You know
by.
Where they are. Yeah. That is our number one mum hack.
That's a good mum hack from G there. Listen, that is it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. And as per usual, if you have liked what you heard today, please do rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. If you fancy giving us a nice big 5-star, that would be nice.
5-star only.
5 stars, please. We're going to be back next week with more talk from us. And you can also get in touch with us if you want to anytime at Made by Mamas on our Instagram, or mine at Zoe Hardman. And we will see you then.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.